You just tuned in to Set for Success with your host, Richard Lannan, but you knew that already, didn't you? We're going to continue that journey. What journey is that? To help you create a roadmap to change your business, your career, your life. And we're going to do this through chatting with one person at a time to uncover people's lives, their business, their journey, their successes to help you create the success that you deserve. And you do deserve to be successful. Heck, I want you to say that right now. You know I do this every single time when I start a show. Say to yourself, I deserve to be successful. You do. You are a success just by the fact that you're tuning in right now. Haha, did I really say that? Yes, I did. You know, the human spirit is one of ability, perseverance, courage that no one can steal away. One of my favorite ways to ignite this passion and jumpstart a happier and healthier lifestyle is by reading some amazing and motivational quotes from outstanding individuals. So here's today's Set for Success quote, or outstanding quote. My advice to other disabled people would be, concentrate on the things your disability doesn't prevent you doing well, and don't regret the things it interferes with. Don't be disabled in spirit as well as physically. And that actually came from Stephen Hawking. Now, if you don't know who Stephen Hawking is, well, you've been hiding for a long time in your life if you don't know who this man is. I mean that jokingly. He was an English theorist, physicist, and also author, and he was the director of research at the Center of Theological Cosmology at the University of Cambridge up until the time of his death. I know I just sort of stumbled on those words. Those words are hard to say in sequence. I should work on that a little bit, shouldn't I? He was considered one of the brilliant minds of our time, and I actually suggest that you go and read up on the man a little bit. Fascinating, fascinating individual. I meet a lot of people, whether face-to-face through client work and strategic planning, or when doing speaking and training gigs at business conferences. Amazingly, people share their life story and challenges with me, and often in confidence. I'm often amazed at what people will actually tell me. Statistically, everyone has some form of personal or life challenge. Wouldn't you agree with that? Just by the fact that you participate in everyday living and breathing means that the world is full of peaks, valleys, or your world is peaks, valleys, and detours. And how many of us have taken a few detours along the way? No doubt we haven't. Imagine for a moment you add on some form of disability. Now you have an added obstacle to manage, whether that disability is physical or of the mind or a combination or whatever different layers of disability there are. I don't even know if I can even use the word so much anymore. I just know that everybody has something, right? There's always something going on. Yeah, and you must manage it well. And the question becomes, so do you use your disability as an excuse, or do you use it sort of like Stephen Hawking did and show the world that with his mind, he had a contribution to make to the world? And everybody has a contribution to make to the world. Everyone has a contribution to make in their own world, to creating their world in business, work, or in life. But where does a person with a disability who is interested in business or being an entrepreneur go? When they make what they want or want to make what their mark on the world, where do they go overall? So this is what we're going to do today. As I gave the show some thought, I wondered, you know, who could come there, share their thoughts on business, their career, their services they provide people. Someone who has been involved in business and is helping disabled entrepreneurs succeed. And it happened to be on my social media, Susan Batter came along, and she's involved in community features on Set for Success Today. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm excited about having you on the show because, like I said, it came up sort of in my social media channels. Your name popped up and everything. And then I sort of checked out your background a little bit professionally, your career. And I thought, oh my gosh, what an interesting area. But let's start off with Susan. The big question is, who is Susan?
Hi, I'm Susan Bader, and I'm the Entrepreneurs with Disabilities Program Manager for Community Futures.
Yeah, so that's what you're involved in at this present time. Tell us a little bit about your background. Are you originally from Manitoba, Canada? Like, just tell us a little bit about your history.
Sure. Born and raised in rural Manitoba, just outside of Winnipeg. I lived in a few communities, but mostly in the Interlake. And I grew up in an entrepreneurial family. Both my grandparents were entrepreneurs way back when, and actually one of their businesses is still thriving due to the due to my uncle and my cousin's efforts. So that's great to see.
So it's generational, right?
Generational.
So start off with grandpa, became the parents maybe, or somewhere along the way, and then the nephews got involved in everything. So it's a third generation business at this point.
Yeah,
in time.
Yeah. And it's great. So I definitely always had that entrepreneurial spirit. Yeah. And like I say, I was really passionate always about rural. I grew up in rural. Mm. I've been really fortunate to be able to still live there. I have a home office there, so I get to work there every day. My job involves traveling all over Manitoba. So I'm really blessed to be able to go meet a whole bunch of people in a lot of different neat places.
On the community side, well, in the economic or business development side of things, too. Have you yourself ever owned a company? I mean, you mentioned that your parents, no, you said your grandparents were entrepreneurs. Were your parents entrepreneurs too?
My parents were entrepreneurs on the side. So that was kind of their side gig, what we would call now. At the time, it was, you know, making ends meet at that time. And so we actually were a hobby farm and we were apiarists. So,
what's an apiarist?
So we raised honey.
Okay.
So at the time, I remember that it was a funny story. We were at school and we were told, you know, about strangers and you got to be careful when somebody comes to the door. It was a whole health unit. And I said, but what if there's a customer at the door? I said, I need to let them in. And at seven, that was my role. Somebody rings the doorbell and I would serve them honey and collect the money and do change. So I thought it was pretty odd to not open the door for anybody that came.
It's funny, you know, you and I actually share a very similar experience. I was raised in an entrepreneurial family too. Different, but my dad had a job, but we also had businesses. He worked all the time. I mean, it was of that generation, that traditional generation. And, but at the age of 7, 8, 9, I managed money, you know, like I counted change. I did the float for the cash register. I would take, my parents would put me on my bicycle and I would bring the deposit from the sales the day before to the bank, have the deposit all done. I was a kid, like, you know, who does that except when you maybe grew up in a rural town, maybe a different time period. Well, now you have technology. You don't have to do things quite the same way. But I mean, it's that experience is what you get, right, when you're in those types of families.
For sure. And I mean, I've been able to pass that on to my kids. I remember my son really wanted to go to a trip. So all of a sudden he was baking cupcakes at night and bringing those to the school and trying to hawk those off. And he realized that the high schoolers on the bus actually had more money than the junior high kids at the school. So often they were pretty much sold by the time he got there and things like that. You know, so it's that mindset, right, that you can make for yourself and that you have a talent or a skill or you can do what you need to make the ends meet.
Yeah, it's funny you would say that. Very similar myself, too. And there's an old expression my uncle would actually say, if you own a pickup, you can make money. All right, I guess I should own a pickup. You know what? I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break and when we come back, we'll talk about the organization you're involved with, and disabled entrepreneurs. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello all, welcome back. I'm hanging out with Susan Bader. Do I have your last name pronounced correctly?
It's Bader, actually.
Bader.
Yeah.
Bader. See, you should have said something. I probably put down two T's. Did I say that before, though, at the opening? I hope I got it right.
It's
Bader.
It's all
Bader.
Good.
You know? So, again, the story of my life with names. So, Susan, you're with Community Futures, right? And so we were talking a little bit just in the first segment about your experience, entrepreneurs, and getting into it. So tell us about Community Futures. What is it and sort of where it came from and how many people are involved? Like, tell me everything.
Sure. Community Futures started actually back in the 80s. It started because some of the communities experienced a mine that was closing. So these would have been a primarily single industry town.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then all of a sudden, you know, when that industry goes down or even reduces, what happens to that town?
What happens then?
And we know that rural communities are more than their single industry. And so we wanted to come in there not only to solve the issues of that moment, but to build and grow those communities. And so that's where Community Futures started from. So actually, we're a national nonprofit. So we have 267 offices across Canada.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we've really grown. And we're in rural. So we're not in the urban center. So in Manitoba, it just means we're not in Winnipeg. Everywhere else would be considered rural for us. And
which is a significant landmass, if I put it there, because Manitoba is one of those provinces that when you look at how we're structured, it's sort of like south east, west, I guess, and then everything else, right? Yeah. So, sorry, go
ahead.
For sure. That's a broad territory.
Yeah, it's a broad territory. So we have 16 offices to make sure that all of that region is covered, because like you say, it's a large landmass, it's a lot of traveling, and every community is unique. So our offices are there to support that. So we kind of offer two primary services: business development. So an entrepreneur comes in, they've got that business idea, or they've been in business for a few years, they want to grow that business, or what we're seeing now with the baby boomers, they're ready to sell that business. Where's that succession planning? What's going to happen next? So we help them through all of those transitions. We also provide loans. So we have loans up to $150,000. Often we do those loans in partnerships with other organizations, banks, and credit unions. And then we just provide that advice and support. A lot of our offices provide training. You know, people might need to be up to date on social media. They may need to do different courses or different training to upgrade their skills. We get a lot around PST, GST, bookkeeping, those kinds of things.
Yeah, the operational aspect of business, the financial administration side of your business. I often say to business owners or even generations that are starting to succeed, right, where the kids have worked in the business, but they don't really know the business. They know their job in the business. And I often say, you know, you don't know your numbers, don't know your business, right? And so getting those core skills about just bookkeeping and taxation and having an accountant or bookkeeper to do stuff for you, it's a pretty important aspect of your business.
100%. And it can be a make and break, right? So yeah, we really need to, we focus on those things and whatever else the business needs. The other opportunities that we provide is we do community economic development. So that can be really specific to the community. It may be a community that's got an influx of young people, but all of a sudden doesn't have a daycare or their daycare is full. So how do we work with the community, for example, to set up a co-op daycare? How do we work with them to fill out those forms so that they can get grants and get funding, so they can understand about the licensing? Maybe they have some HR issues. How do we hire staff that are going to stay in our community? And what does the community need to bring in so that people remain in the community and grow the community?
What are some of the, I guess, sort of the trends that you're seeing right now then in terms of rural communities when it comes to business, when it comes to people staying, when it comes to the things that you're mentioning right now? And the reason why I asked this question, I'd love to get your insights, is because I've been reading about it and been working with another organization. I've been reading about a bit more about trends towards people moving to smaller communities and leaving the cities. But then I read opposite stuff where people are leaving the smaller communities and moving to the cities, you know, and it's like, there's a whole economic argument that's taking place in the literature, and I'm not really too sure what the trend is. Maybe you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, what we're seeing definitely is actually a movement that's named out east is rural on purpose. And basically what that movement is it's the new generation. They want to raise their children in communities that are small. Yeah. Where people know every kid's name, and where you have access to large spaces for people to roam. And with technology and with internet, and the internet is a key factor for our rural communities. Those communities with good internet can allow businesses to thrive. You know, we don't always have to have that huge retail space anymore to be a competitive business in the world market.
It's interesting you would say that, and I want to support that. I can't say the town or the company or anything along this lines. I can't say the province either. So this is somewhere in Canada. And I've taken this road hundreds and hundreds of times. And eventually, I ended up with a client that actually their head office is on that road. And the road's in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that they have a $7 million business that basically they do their stuff on their property. Trucks pick it up, ship it off, way to go. Everything's over the internet, and they've built a beautiful business, and they've employed the community. How fascinating is that?
Well, and that's the thing. In a rural community, everybody's community-minded. They yes. do support those rural businesses, and they do support local, which is great. And that's what the business owners need.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. It's fascinating the types of things that Community Future does. I know there's more things that we need to sort of focus in on. I think what we'll do is we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue further discussion in terms of the important work that you do, maybe talk about a few success stories and the key challenges, those kind of things. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Susan Bader, and we're talking a bit about Community Futures is the name of the organization, and entrepreneurship in rural communities and some of the trends that are being going on. I love that sort of rural on purpose concept. You just shared with us last, segment of the show, the idea that people are actually choosing, the younger generation is choosing to move to rural communities and finding outlets to be able to still support themselves. And no doubt technology and infrastructure is an important part of that. And I know as a software programmer, if I was to pick that, you don't need to live in a city to do that. You can actually do that out of your home. Right? You can do that at a cafe, right? So it just sort of depends on what it is, I gather. What unique businesses do you find that people are going into rural communities?
We see the full gamut. Yeah. We definitely have the tech company. We have someone that does audio and video production. We'll see the artisans and crafters. Often home-based businesses. We have lots of restaurants, kind of anything and everything. With technology and with the internet, I mean, that really reduces all those barriers of your market just being, your neighbors. Your neighbors is the world. And yep. So we're definitely seeing everything and everybody. We see some manufacturing around food processing as well. People, when they need to do food processing, they need that physical space to have the actual plant, but they also need, the big housing space for where they're going to put all their product. Well, in rural, a lot of times those prices for land to build is a lot cheaper than trying to find available space in a more urban center.
Yeah, and I would say, and it's interesting, you would say the price for land. And then just having your own storage, because I've met some of those rural entrepreneurs, and they talk about how they bought their property, like the company or they own the property, and they're proud of that fact, right? We have 5 acres here. I paid this much money for it. This is where I put my warehouse. This is where I put my shed, my various things. And by the way, I put my house right here, and so. Is that the case?
For sure. For sure. We're definitely seeing that. And then they become an employer.
Yes.
Right? So they are able to give back to the community by employing people. And we've got some really creative entrepreneurs out there that have found employment opportunities for people. We have one entrepreneur. She employs a lot of young families. So she's okay with them working after the kids are dropped off at daycare and that their day ends before the school bus. That's the lifestyle those folks want to have. They want to have that work-life balance, and so they've made it work.
Yeah, so they work between 9 and 3, and they provide great services. I was reading an article on that, too. So you obviously know I read a lot. I read a lot of business stuff, and I found it fascinating. The article was about women in business, but particular women who work in other businesses that live in other communities, but they only work from 9 till 3, and highly educated, university mm-hmm. degrees, the whole bit, right? But it's not about having that career, so to speak. It's about having a fulfilling life. And that might be something you're getting to.
Yeah. And I think in rural, we're actually, the average entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, is about 16% in Canada. But in rural, we see those numbers much higher. And definitely with our Entrepreneurs with Disabilities program, we can sometimes see that over 50%.
Over 50%.
So definitely, we're seeing a lot of women entrepreneurs in rural communities. They really like that work-life balance, and the entrepreneurship provides them with that opportunity.
Is there any specific type of businesses that female entrepreneurs in rural communities tend to go into? Is there a trend, or is it sort of
It's the full gamut. Yeah. I mean, we have people that are doing alternative energy and into solar, and then we have the florists and, you know, everything in between. So there's no typical.
Yeah, there's no typical, right? And no, that's good to hear, right? Because I asked that intentionally because I think sometimes when you look at genders, and I don't mind being corrected on this, right? But just in the dialogue, sometimes I feel when I'm talking to people, they think that women go into a certain type of business and go into certain type of businesses. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, you, when you talk about having green energy and solar energy or manufacturing energy cells or whatever, and then talking about the floors, I mean, that's a gambit, right? That's spread really pretty broad in that case, which is a good thing. What are some of the challenges that rural entrepreneurs actually have? What are some of the common challenges that you see that you have to deal with?
Definitely. I work with primarily entrepreneurs with disabilities.
Yes.
So sometimes for them, it's just trying to make sure that their business has the accommodations that they need. For some business owners, that just may mean that they need to do a lot around scheduling. Some entrepreneurs, to manage their health issues, they may need to have a rest as part of their day. Or they may start their day very early. And then have just an extended lunch, things like that. So it's basically just the management. Sometimes it's just finding the right equipment that's a little more ergonomic that can make the difference so that their health issues stay stable and so they don't re-injure.
Yeah. So that's an interesting piece right there, because I know you focus more on entrepreneurs with disabilities. I mentioned disabled entrepreneurs before, and I want to correct myself as entrepreneurs with disabilities. So basically, how do you recognize an entrepreneur has a disability? And first of all, what kind of disabilities are we generally talking about?
Yeah, so for our program, basically people self-identify that they're managing a health issue. So it's very, very broad. It can be things like arthritis, it can be diabetes, and then it can be things like learning disabilities and mental health. We're definitely seeing an increase as we're getting more aware about mental health. We definitely have more folks that will self-identify and say, you know, I have a mental health concern that I'm managing.
Yeah, they're dealing with depression, they're dealing with something along those lines. I asked that question intentionally because when I was reading some of your literature, you know, it's one of those things when you're talking about disabilities, it's such a big catch-all category. No, it's no longer when we used to use the word disability years and years and years ago, several decades ago. I think people would put, you know, they would recognize with maybe one segment of the population. This is my own thought. You can feed me back. But today when we talk about disabilities, we're talking about a whole gamut of possibilities.
For sure. And what we know now is 70% of disabilities are actually invisible disabilities. So, you know, people are used to seeing the accessible parking, right?
Yes.
That's got the symbol of the wheelchair. Oh, a person with a disability is a person in a wheelchair. But when you think it's 70% are people that you're interacting with every day and you won't know. You won't see the cane or the hearing aid to know that they have a disability. It's invisible.
Or the ability to read or spell or whatever it might be, right? I mean, I want to make sure we brought it out to just physical things, but beyond just physical things, right?
For sure. It can be learning disabilities. It can be dyslexic. I just read an interesting article, that there are more dyslexic CEOs out there than average would be in the population.
Yeah. The New York Times did an article that basically cited that 70% of all entrepreneurs are actually dyslexic. Right. And so it's a very common, I'm pretty sure that that's the reference. I hope I'm right. It's been a while since I've read it. But yeah, there's actually a lot more out there. And they were actually stating, so I like sharing stuff, obviously, mm-hmm. but they were stating that the reason why they, at this point in time, this article, and I read this 15 years ago or so, was that they felt that people were working more on their people skills. And you know, but I've worked with a lot of dyslexic entrepreneurs, and I think they figured out to leverage their strengths and hire their weaknesses.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And they know how to think outside the box,
think
right? They know
the
how
box.
To do that problem solving.
So what we'll do when we come back, Susan, we'll talk maybe a little bit about thinking outside the box with what you guys do. This is Richard Land for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Hanging out with Susan, my new best friend. Oh, made her smile on the other side of the mic. And we've been talking a bit about entrepreneurs, rural entrepreneurs, and some of the challenges and things that actually go on, some of the trends. And we're talking about the whole concept of thinking outside the box, right? And the idea that maybe entrepreneurs with disabilities, they have to think outside the box. They got to do some things different, you know. Do you have any examples that you can share with us? Do you have a story for us, or two or three?
Sure, definitely. Always have stories. One of the stories is Shorty. He runs Shorty's Upcycling in Thompson, Manitoba.
Shorty. Shorty. Okay.
Yeah. So Shorty worked as a mechanic for many years. So he was very mechanical. Then due to a health issue, he needed to step out of that. And he was trying to figure out what to do. But as any good mechanic, he liked to tinker.
Of
and
course.
Was starting to
Once
build.
It's, there, it's in your blood, it's in
yeah,
your blood, right?
Exactly. And Thompson's kind of unique. They're up north. They've got a lot of industry, which means they also have a lot of stuff. The cost of moving things, old machinery, vehicles, airplanes down south, is very expensive. So there's a lot of access to a lot of different things. And Shorty was able to monopolize on this. And using his creativity, he was able to make amazing pieces of furniture, different items of decor out of everyday objects. And so objects that they would find around there, like plane propellers and a variety of different things, and his mechanical abilities. And he sells his products internationally. He's on the internet and selling his different things that he creates. And a lot of people will bring something to them. They'll bring an old chest and said, "This belongs to my grandpa," you know, and he'll say, "Well, tell me a bit more about your grandpa." And he'll build a unique one-of-a-kind piece that may now be a coffee table centerpiece in their home.
Okay. So what's the name of the company again?
Shorty's Upcycling.
Shorty's Upcycling.
Yeah.
See, when you said the name, the first thing I thought was like bicycles and stuff like this. But it's a play on recycling, isn't it?
Definitely. Upcycling. It's definitely taking something old and repurposing to something brand new.
Brand new. Is upcycling a word, or is it a word he made up?
No, it is a word. It is actually a term, and other people are doing that. It's a way to repurpose. So really an environmental initiative as well.
In that respect. And he's doing that up in Thompson. That's an awesome story. Do you have any other stories you can share with us?
Yeah. So Lucy Sloan, we met her quite a few years ago. She's in St. Malo, and she had a head injury, and kind of her world went upside down, and she came around.
I had a friend. Yeah, she came around upside down. That's humorous.
Yeah.
I hope you got a good sense of humor if you're listening in. I had that happen to a friend too, and it does really a real problem. Head injuries are hard to get over. Tell us a little bit more about her.
So she lived on a farm, and she had miniature horses, and really found that they were really helpful in her recovery. Lucy is a trained therapist, and so she started Little Steps Wellness. So it's a farm with a whole bunch of animals. You arrive there and the pork belly pig comes out to meet you at your vehicle. And there's miniature horses, and there's also fainting goats. And so she works with children and teens that can really relate to the animals, and it's animal assisted therapy. And it helps the youth and the teens and the children to really overcome some of their mental health concerns.
Their challenges. Very popular right now, right? The inclusiveness of people and animals in terms of therapy, and not just for children. I mean, I understand that she specializes in children, but even for like adults and senior citizens. One of the things that I love to do is I'm a motorcyclist, right? And I was actually down in South Dakota in July, and I met this guy who was in a pretty serious injury and everything, and he had a little dog. And then I started talking about his dog, and lo and behold, he said that his dog saved his life. Because he had to go through recovery and everything, and the dog was always there for him, right? You know, and people, not always so, you know, and the sad thing is.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, Lucy's found that the animals kind of make the difference. And so her business continues to evolve. She's just now starting to publish a series of books for children using the characters in her farm. So her first book is about anxiety and talks about how the fainting goats are feeling anxious. And it's Wilbur the pig that comes to the rescue and kind of teaches the children some methods on how they can manage their anxiety. And so it's great. This is a book and a workbook that adults will be able to use to help their children to have those conversations. But animals are like that, right? To talk about animals' anxiety is a little bit easier than talking about people's anxiety.
And kids can relate to animals, right? You put them in touch with animals, they tend to relate pretty quick, right? And I suspect animals can relate to kids too. This is an interesting, relationship that happens there. What's going to be new for you guys coming into the future?
Well, we're really excited, actually, in Community Futures. We've received some funding for women entrepreneurs. So our office in Flin Flon and in Dauphin are both setting up co-working hubs. And so that'll be a really nice initiative for both of those communities to... Yeah.
To actually do it. In case people don't know, what is a co-working hub?
So a co-working hub is a shared space. So basically, it reduces some of your overhead costs and because you're sharing the space. So sometimes it can be a hot desk. So people come in, they need to have a meeting with a client. So they'll use a desk for a few hours. Other people will be there for a few months. Often shared services of a receptionist, reducing the costs of internet, phone, hydro, those kinds of things. And also often gets a lot of idea sharing and innovation that comes out of those spaces.
Yeah, if you get the right mix of people in there, it actually adds in terms of building the actual business community. I think it's always important to speak to what some of these terms, when we use them, what they actually are. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, the easiest way is to check out our website, cfmanitoba.ca. We have 16 offices, so we're basically in everybody's backyard all over rural Manitoba.
Yeah, so just being aware that you actually exist and you help out rural entrepreneurs right across the country, and also you have programs for entrepreneurs with disabilities too, is a good thing to have happen. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
Okay, and I sometimes put these later on the program, depending on how we're going and everything. And these are sort of the things, I call these questions, the what is something you want to, right? So I would like to ask you, what is something that you'd want to achieve in your life?
Wow, I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm pretty excited, actually, to be where I am. Been in my career for quite a few years. But I think for me, what I'd like to see is more inclusiveness around people with disabilities. I'd love to see that in my lifetime. I'm really excited about the new Accessible Canada Act, and I'm hoping that that will really level the playing field for people with disabilities.
Yeah, so to help out in that respect. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, based on just reading up on what's on your website and everything and some of the programs that you've actually introduced, I think that's absolutely excellent. You're an awesome guest. I've been having a great time chatting with you and that. Susan, so if you had one final thought that you'd like to leave our listeners, what might that thought be?
I think my thought would be just to go for it.
Go for it?
You know, use your skills, use your abilities, and everybody has an opportunity to be successful.
That's a great sort of final thought. Just go for it. Just do it. I love it. I love it. So set for success-ish. Thank you for joining me today. Great to have somebody out for Community Futures on the show. And listeners, I want to thank you for tuning in too. And if you have a final thought or an idea or question or anything, just richard@setforsuccess.ca. And I have something that you need to remember. Do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.